August 9, 1925. How requite and God in love for all created things enters the first duty of the creature. The divine will was given as primary life of the creature. My Jesus, give me strength. You who see the great repugnances I feel in writing, such that, if it wasn't for blessed obedience and for fear of displeasing you, I would not have written a single word anymore. Your long privations daze me and render me incapable of anything, therefore I need greater help in order to put on paper what your holy will whispers to me. Therefore, give me your hand, and be always with me. Now, while I was fusing myself in the holy divine volition in order to requite God in love for everything he had done in creation for love of creatures, a thought was telling me that it was not necessary to do that. That this way of praying was not pleasing to my Jesus. That these are inventions of my mind. And my always lovable Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, my daughter, you must know that this way of praying, that is, to requite God in love for all the things created by him, is a divine right, and it enters the first duty of the creature. The creation was made for love of man. Even more, our love was so great that, had it been necessary, we would have created as many heavens, as many suns, stars, seas, earths, plants and all the rest, for as many creatures as were to come to the light of this world, so that each one of them might have a creation for herself, a universe of her own. And, in fact, when everything was created, Adam was the only spectator of all creation, he could enjoy all the good he wanted. And if we did not do so, it was because man could enjoy everything anyway, as if it were his own, even if others also might enjoy it. In fact, who cannot say, the sun is mine, and enjoy the light of the sun as much as he wants? Or, the water is mine, and quench his thirst and make use of it there where he needs it? Or, the sea, the earth, the fire, the air, are my things, and so with many other things created by me? And if it seems that man lacks something, that life suffers hardships, it is because of sin which, barring the way of my benefits, prevents the things created by me from being abundant for the ungrateful creature. So, given all this, that in all created things God bound his love toward each creature, hers was the duty to requite God with her little love, with her gratitude, with her thank you to the one who had done so much for her. Not requiting God in love for everything he has done for man in creation, is the first fraud that the creature makes against God. It is to usurp his gifts without even recognizing where they come from, and the one who has loved her so much. Therefore, this is the first duty of the creature, and this duty is so indispensable and important, that she who took to heart all our glory, our defense, our interest, did nothing but go around through all the spheres, from the smallest to the greatest thing created by God, in order to impress her requital of love, of glory, of thanksgiving, for all and in the name of all human generations. Ah! Yes, it was precisely my celestial mama who filled heaven and earth with the requital for everything that God had done in creation. After her came my humanity, which fulfilled this duty so sacrosanct, in which the creature had so very much failed, and rendered my celestial father benevolent toward guilty man. So, these were my prayers, and those of my inseparable mama. Don't you want, then, to repeat my very prayers? Even more, this is why I have called you into my will, that you may associate yourself with us, and follow and repeat our acts. So I tried, as much as I could, to go around through all created things, to give to my God the requital of love, of glory, of gratitude, for everything he had done in creation. I seemed to see in all created things the requital of love of my Empress Mama and of my beloved Jesus. This requital formed the most beautiful harmony between heaven and earth, and bound the Creator to the creature. Each requital of love was a key, a little sonata of enrapturing celestial music. And my sweet Jesus added, my daughter, All created things were nothing other than an act of our will that issued them. Nor can they move, or change the effects, the position or the office which each of them received by its creator. They are nothing other than mirrors in which man was to admire the reflections of the qualities of his creator, in some the power, in some the beauty, in other created things the goodness, the immensity, the light, etc. In some, each created thing preaches to man the qualities of its creator, and with mute voices they tell him how much I love him. On the other hand, in creating man, it was not just our will, but an emanation that came out of our womb, a part of ourselves that we infused in him. And this is why we created him with a free will, that he might grow always, in beauty, in wisdom, in virtue. In our likeness, he could multiply his goods, his graces. Oh! If a son had a free will and could make two sons from one, four sons from two, what glory, what honor would it not give to its creator, and how much glory also to itself? Yet, what the created things cannot do, because they are without a free will, and because they were created to serve man, man can do, because he was to serve God. So, all our love was centralized in man, and this is why we placed all creation at his disposal, all ordered around him, that man might make use of our works like as many stairs and ways in order to come to us, to know us, and to love us. But what is our sorrow in seeing man below our created things, even more, his beautiful soul, given by us, transformed into ugliness by sin, and not only ungrown in good, but horrid to the sight? Yet, as if everything that was created for him were not enough to our love, in order to preserve this free will, we gave him the greatest gift, which surpassed all other gifts, we gave him our will, as preserver, as antidote, as prevenience and help for his free will. So, our will placed itself at his disposal, to give him all those aids which man might need. Our will was given to him as primary life, and as the first act of all his works. Having to grow in grace and in beauty, he needed a supreme will, which would not only keep company with his human will, but would substitute for the operating of the creature. But this great gift also he despised and did not want to know. See, then, how our will enters the primary life of the creature, and as long as it maintains its first act, its life, the creature grows always in grace, in light, in beauty. She preserves the bond of the first act of her creation, and we receive the glory of all created things, because they serve our will operating in the creature, the only purpose of all creation. Therefore, I recommend to you, let our will be more than life for you, and the first act of all your actions.